Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Go where the demand is.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. U.S. carmakers had a tough time selling cars to Americans last year. So it looks like this year they'll be looking elsewhere. Today, Ford said it plans to double its production in India to $500 million. And Ford plans to develop a very cheap, very small car for people to drive in India. It already has some competition. On Thursday, Indian company Tata will unveil a $2,500 subcompact. I hope it has doors. Wall Street had some tiny gains yesterday, but that's compared to some pretty steep losses lately. The Dow starts the morning at 12,827. It added 27 points yesterday, just a small fraction. The S&P 500 gained 4. The Nasdaq fell 5 points. The Nasdaq is off to its worst start for a year since 2000. Stocks were mixed in Asia today and some minor gains in Europe so far. In Ethiopia today, a meeting organized by the World Health Organization. The issue at hand is a shortage of healthcare workers. The WTO says 57 countries are in a crisis mode with this. Sarah Gardner has more.
The shortage is most acute in sub-Saharan Africa. Take Malawi. That country has about 7,400 HIV/AIDS patients for every one physician. Low pay and poor working conditions have driven many African doctors to jobs abroad. The WHO says one remedy is task shifting. That means letting lesser-trained workers assume more responsibility, like training those living with HIV to be HIV workers.
So they might be the ones that, for example, administer HIV tests and explain to people the results of their tests.
Lori Garrett is a health expert at the Council on Foreign Relations.
It also brings money into the hands of people with HIV, giving them enough resources to have some dignity and employment.
But Garrett calls task shifting a mere stopgap measure. Meanwhile, she says rich countries should stop poaching doctors from the third world. Right now, there are more Nigerian doctors in the U.S. than in Nigeria. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
I'm guessing NBC's Golden Globes ratings will be a bit lower this year. There won't be any ceremony this Sunday, just a news conference to announce the winners. NBC still plans to carry that live. The writers who are on strike might be picketing outside while that's going on. The Globe ceremony was canceled because no actors planned to show up in support of the writers. George Clooney said he belongs to 6 unions and doesn't plan to cross any picket lines. A funny thing happens to the music charts in early January. A lot of unknown artists shoot to the top, leapfrogging over the mainstream popular ones. Andrea Gardner explains one reason why.
For weeks, sales have grown for well-known albums like Hannah Montana 2, Meet Miley Cyrus, and Carrie Underwood's Carnival Ride. But the latest Billboard chart shows sales for those albums tumbled the week after Christmas. Meanwhile, sales skyrocketed for new artists such as Colby Calais, Paramore, and Flyleaf. Jeff Mayfield from Billboard Magazine says the change is typical for this time of year.
Once Christmas passes, you have kind of a shifting of the tide. It's gone from being a gift-giving item to kind of an era of discovery. And we find each January that there's particularly good chart traction for newcomers and for soundtracks, too.
Kids often exchange the popular items they receive for new music their parents have probably never heard of. And of course, they use those gift cards. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
The CEO of investment bank Bear Stearns is stepping aside. 74-year-old James Cain will stay on as chairman, but he's out as CEO. This really isn't a surprise considering the collapse of 2 Bear Stearns hedge funds last summer and the first quarterly loss in company history. What is surprising is that more CEOs haven't lost their jobs because of the subprime mess. Challenger Gray and Christmas says around 1,300 CEOs left their positions in 2007. That's a drop of 8% from the year before. The economy is certainly paying for the sins of banks. A new report out of Britain suggests the biggest financial hit in years. Megan Williams reports.
After a long, smooth cruise upwards, British financial firms are now heading downhill. In the last quarter of 2007, business for banks, brokerage, and insurance companies slid to its lowest rate in more than 16 years. Research by the Confederation of British Industry shows trading, investment, and interest profits are all down. So is confidence that business will pick up anytime soon. Confidence in the British service sector is also at a two-year low. Peter Hemington of BWO Stoy Hayward says retail is the worst off.
It was a pretty tough Christmas for lots of retailers, and there's a big worry that with the housing market having gone negative and consumer debt at record high levels, you know, retailers are really going to struggle over the next 12 months.
But still, Hemington says the British economy is strong overall. He says the interest rate cut before Christmas has kept morale high for manufacturers. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
With the New Hampshire primary today, it looks like an old election adage is making a comeback. I'll give you a hint. The housing market, gas prices, higher unemployment, the credit crunch. Here's John Dimsdale.
This year, Leon Panetta, who was President Bill Clinton's chief of staff, is expecting to hear a campaign theme that helped elect his old boss in 1992.
I don't think there's any question that James Carville's comment about it's the economy, stupid, is going to resurrect itself.
To capture a wave of economic anxiety, Panetta, who's also a former congressman from California, recommends that candidates promise to make everyone share the burdens equally.
In a down time when the economy is not doing well, people are basically going to ask the question, am I being treated fairly or am I paying a price for the benefits that flow to somebody else?
Gabor Sokatch is an engineer from Nashua, New Hampshire, who's worried about Washington's budget and trade deficits, as well as the decline in the quality of local jobs. He's looking for a candidate who will be independent of corporate influence in Washington.
To me, a lot of the other issues are the result of the symptoms of this corporate and the sponsorship hold over the candidates after they're in office.
For Sokatch, Democratic candidate John Edwards' message of economic populism will win his vote today. If the economy's doldrums last through much of 2008, Democratic candidates are the likely beneficiaries, says Jason Furman, the director of the Brookings Institution's Hamilton Project.
In a way, it fits right in with the Democratic race because they've never been very positive about how the economy was doing for typical families or how the president was managing the economy. So it's easy for any of those candidates to pivot to a policy that's based on fiscal stimulus, that's based on getting money into the pockets of the families that are having a hard time in the economy today.
But economists warn that a lengthy economic downturn will put severe budgetary constraints on whoever wins the election this November. And that will make carrying out those promises of change all the tougher. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Are the presidential candidates addressing your concerns? Let us know. Just go to marketplace.org and click on Election 2008. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.